A reading from Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known by me by known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it now has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom we have access to God, in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Grace and peace to each of you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. This morning's message is dedicated to my third grade teacher, Mr. John Seed, who not only encouraged me to write, but more importantly, encouraged me to wonder. People forget. They forget what it's like to be a child, discovering something for the first time. They forget that they come from mystery, that they live in mystery, and that they return to mystery. Who made the world? A poet asks. Who made the swan and the black bear? This grasshopper, I mean the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings and floats away. People forget. When I was a child, writes the Apostle Paul, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Paul is right, of course, when he talks about putting childish reasoning away. As another Paul writes, in thinking, especially about God, we should be mature. God is not, after all, simply some kind of being, not even, at least literally, a king who lives up there somewhere beyond the clouds. Nor is God, as some atheists like to suggest, merely an invisible friend. No, God is something far more than these. More than a king or friend, even if God may, in some cases, display these attributes. But people forget. While we should put aside childish ways when thinking about God, there is something children have that we have lost. Then some children were brought to Jesus, the Gospel of Matthew tells us, so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom from heaven belongs to such as these." The kingdom from heaven belongs to such as these. Why would it belong to children? What capacity do they have, do they possess, that we serious, busy adults often lack? The answer, of course, is curiosity, or better, wonder. And what understanding of God, if we can call it that, matches up so perfectly with wonder? Is it God the man, the great sky daddy above us all, beyond the clouds? Certainly not. It's God the mystery, the capital M mystery that lies at the heart of everything, the mystery from which we come, the mystery from which we live, and the mystery to which we return. The one, says Paul in Romans 11, from whom, through whom, and to whom are all things. The God, as a long-lost poet cited in Acts 17 says, in whom we live, move, and have our being. People forget. And sometimes people of faith, the keepers and preservers of this mystery, forget the most. They assume, we assume, upon reading a passage like Ephesians 3, our second reading for today, that the mystery has been solved. After all, as verse 3 and verse 5 say, the mystery has been revealed to Christ's prophets, to the holy apostles, and of course to Paul himself. But that mystery is not the mystery of God. It's God's plan for salvation. And what's revealed is this: God's love is far more inclusive than Paul or any of his contemporaries could have imagined apart from Christ. God's love is far more inclusive than Paul or any of his contemporaries could have imagined apart from Christ. For it extends now not only to Jews, but to Gentiles, in Greek, the people of the nations, to us. The wall between Jew and Gentile, between us and them, hasn't been built up, it's been torn down. In Christ Jesus and through his gospel, that is, his good news, his good message, his glad tidings, Ephesians says, we have become first fellow heirs to God's promise of salvation. We have become second members with the Jews of the same body. And we become third, and this is most important, sharers in the good news of God's far-reaching inclusive love. Good news for us all, Jew and Gentile alike. We don't, after all, as Christians, inherit what the Jews lost. We share, as Ephesians says, what they already and still have. Wow! People really forget. Am I right? But people forget more than that God's plan for salvation includes the Jews, that God has not revoked or taken away God's covenant, God's bond with Israel, as Paul says in Romans 11. They forget that God's plan discloses to us something about God, that God, as 1 John 4 says, is love. Beyond that, they forget this love resides in what is still a greater mystery. And that mystery, as a whole, as a totality, we Christians call God. And if God indeed is the capital M mystery of our lives, what better response to this mystery than to do as children do, to wonder. Wow. For theirs is the kingdom from God, and when we wonder, so is ours. Quick story. For years, first as an undergraduate and then graduate student of theology, then as a professor of theology, and still now as a pastor of a church, people say to me, "Why do you care about the question of God?" in that voice. "You're never going to know. You're never going to know." This way of thinking, this response, used to bother me greatly, and quite frankly, it still does. For people who ask such a question have no idea what theology is. They have forgotten that theology, or talking about God, isn't done to solve the mystery of God. It's done to deepen the mystery, to name toward the mystery, to orient us to the mystery, to help us embrace the mystery. I mean, can you imagine life without mystery? Life where all the questions have been solved, whether scientific, theoretical, or of course, theological. That life, in my estimate, would not be worth living. That kind of life wouldn't be a life at all. People forget. They forget what it's like to be a child, discovering something for the first time. They forget that we come from mystery, that we live in mystery, and that we return to mystery. They forget, or perhaps they never knew, the purpose of faith, the purpose of theology, the purpose of worship isn't ultimately to solve the mystery, it's to embrace the mystery and to be embraced by the mystery. Who made the world? A poet asks. Who made the swan and the black bear? This grasshopper, I mean the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaw back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around her with enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings and floats away. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Amen.